Let's stand together as we begin reading in Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul makes an interesting statement in verse 2. And though we're going to look at all of the verses that we just read, I want to pause for just a moment and put our focus upon what he says found there in verse 2. Let's read it again. They, that is the Jews, stumbled over Christ, and Paul says this is the reason why. I bear them record, in other words, I know them, and this is the truth. I'm a witness to it. They have a zeal for God. But their zeal or their passion is not according to knowledge. Now, from this one statement, we can discover two or three things that I think are very important for all of us. Number one, truth is far more important than passion. Have you ever been driving down the road and you've seen two guys in white shirts and black ties and they're carrying a Bible? And I mean, you look at them and you think, oh, wow, man, these guys, they are zealous for God. They've got a passion for their faith. Have you ever admired those Mormon missionaries? Going out in the hot sun, going door to door, risking embarrassment because they are zealous for their faith. Listen to me. They may be zealous and they may be passionate, but truth is far more important than passion. There's really no reason to admire them because they're passionate about something that is not true. The Jews were zealous for God. I mean, they had a zeal, a passion in their service for God. But they stumbled over truth. They stumbled over Christ. He became offensive to them. That's the end of chapter 9. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Jews stumbled over the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, listen carefully. This is also true among Southern Baptists. Sometimes there's a lot of people in our churches that they have a zeal for God, a passion for God. They've got a zeal for the church. They will serve until their fingers are worn to the bone. They will read their Bible in daily quiet times. They will have a prayer life that will not quit. And they're proud of the fact that they are spiritual and zealous for God. And they look around like the Jews in Paul's day and they see other people that are not as zealous as they are. Let me tell you something. You can be as zealous as you want about being a Baptist, but if you miss the truth of Christ, you're in more danger than you realize. Truth is far more important than passion. John Trapp, the old Puritan, put it like this: zeal without knowledge is like a wild fire in a fool's hand. Paul says, I bear record of my brethren. They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. They've stumbled over truth. Now, because of this, there's a second conclusion that we can make from this verse, and it's this. Trust is far more important than performance. Now, because the Jews stumbled over the truth of Jesus Christ and what he had done for sinners, their performance in their religious faith was far more important to them than anything else. In fact, Jesus himself said they would go across oceans to make a convert. But because they did not see Christ and who he is and what he's done, they stumbled over him. And thus trust was insignificant to them. Trust wasn't even in the vocabulary. Faith was something foreign. Performance was everything. Oh, lest we again get too tough on the Jews of Paul's day. It's almost as if history replicates itself. We live in a world, a religious world, where performance almost means everything. Why is that? Well, I think it's because religious people in our day are ignorant of the truth, just as the Jews were ignorant of the truth. Let me show you what I mean. Verse 3 of our text, Paul is speaking about the Jews who are zealous for God, but not according to knowledge, and he says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now, what is it that people are ignorant of? Paul says the Jews were ignorant in his day and they missed Christ. What is it that people are ignorant of today and as a result miss Christ? Well, let me give you a couple of illustrations that I think will help you. I'm reading a book that is really fascinating. It's written by a man who is an expert on mummies. And it deals with the subject of death. And he explains that the ancient Egyptians believed that when someone died, their soul would be in another country, but would one day return to the body. And the Egyptians, anticipating that day when the soul would be reunited with the body, did everything they could to preserve the body, because the soul needed to be able to recognize the body when it came back. Thus, mummification was invented. And the Egyptians were pros at it. I mean, they mummified dead bodies, particularly of the kings, and they treated these bodies reverently. Now, in this book, this historian and professor who's writing about it makes a statement about Christianity. And he just kind of glosses over it as if everybody will accept it as fact. This is what he says. Mummification went out of fashion with the rise of Christianity. And then he says, and the reason is this. Christians believed that the afterlife was guaranteed not by the quality of one's corpus, that is the body, but the quality of one's conduct. And I read that. I mean, he just made a categorical statement about what Christians believe, that our afterlife is guaranteed by the quality of our conduct. And he believed it. And he just assumed everybody else believed it. This writer was ignorant, just like the Jews, of three things. Number one, the Jews and this writer and people who stumble over Christ are ignorant of God's standard. Jesus himself in Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." The standard of God is not do your best, make sure that your conduct is good, or at least better than the average person, the standard of God is 100% absolute perfection. Nothing short of that will ever allow you entrance into the presence of God. Period. The Jews were ignorant of this. In fact, in their minds, they thought they were doing a pretty good job of living up to God's standard as compared to other people. My goodness, they were the special people of God. They had the laws, the covenants. They were doing a pretty good job. And they were ignorant of the fact that God required them to be perfect. Number two, these people are ignorant of their status before God. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 10, there is no one righteous, no, not one. The Jews were ignorant of this truth. In their zeal to establish themselves as holy, they missed Christ. And number three, these people and others who stumble over Christ are ignorant of what it means to submit to God's righteousness. Because they don't understand the standard of God, which is perfection, and because in their minds they think if they just do enough, and if they just clean themselves up, and if they just offer themselves to God as a good person, at least a good religious person of faith, they're better than everybody else, and as a result, God must bless them and God must accept them. The Jews believed this with all their hearts, and they stumbled over Christ because they didn't see that they needed to be perfect. Now let me show you how ridiculous it is for any of us to trust in any of our conduct for a right standing before God. Now hang on. I know some of you are dismissing what I'm saying because you think you're a Christian in this sense. I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I know what it means to be saved. But you live your life like a Jew. I want you to listen carefully to how foolish it is to trust or depend upon any of your conduct to be right with God. I asked Barbara to go buy me a couple of pieces of cloth. This is some linen. It's about the size of a bath towel. And I know if you're listening by tape, you can't see it. But this is white linen. It's beautiful. In fact, Rochelle, I think, would be more than willing, if we were to have guests over, to spread this across our dining room table and to lay some fine china on this linen cloth. By the way, this white linen is a beautiful picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is the color and material of the clothing of the high priest who represented Jesus Christ. It is also the color of the manna on the table of showbread, which was a picture of the body of Jesus Christ given for us. It is also the color of the flour offered in the meal offering of the Jews in the Old Covenant, which was a picture again of the righteousness of the coming Messiah. It's a picture of perfect, complete, pure, holy righteousness. It's a picture, if you will, of Christ and His goodness. The scripture says He was born of a virgin, thus without the taint of original sin. In Him was no guile. In His activities, in His thought life, there was no sin. Oh yes, there was temptation to sin, to transgress and violate the law of His Father. But He fulfilled the law, every jot and tittle, and was perfect, absolutely 100% perfect in His obedience. Barbara purchased another piece of material. Logan, come on up, if you will. It was the same size, the same color. She gave it to me last Wednesday, and I gave it to my son, Logan. And I said, Logan, I want you to have fun with this material. I just want you to play with it. And Logan, tell the folks what you did with this piece of cloth.
I poured orange soda on it, grape juice, coffee, a car ran over it, I rubbed it against the tire, and mud stains and grass stains.
Yeah. That, now, you think that's dirty, right? Oh, you should have seen it before I told him what he had to do with it. You see, he got it all dirty. I told him to have fun with it. It's the only time I ever told you to destroy anything, isn't it, Logan? Yeah, the only time I ever did. He got it all dirty, but then yesterday, I said, Logan, I want you to do something. I want you to wash it and make it clean because I want you to show it to the church tomorrow. So last night, Logan, you and even your dad tried to help you, didn't they? We washed that. I mean, we washed it. We washed it with our hands. We scrubbed it. We got in the swimming pool with it. We rubbed it against the wall. We tried to get every silly stain off of that linen we could. We stuck it in the dryer. Then we took it out. We washed it again. We put it in the dryer again. We brought it this morning. Now let me ask you a question. This is a picture of our souls stained by sin and our own performance. Now we can try to clean this up as best we know how. But can you imagine us laying this across our table and having fellowship with people? Can you imagine how embarrassed we would be to present this linen to guests? I don't understand why Baptists and other religious people, when they feel the stain and guilt of their sin, why they start trusting in cleaning themselves up in order to have a right relationship with God. You say, well, now, preacher, just a minute now. Logan, if you'll hold that for me. I thought we were to try to clean ourselves up. You see, this is why trust is far more important than performance. You can try to clean yourself up, but the prophet Isaiah says, all of our acts of righteousness are like what? Filthy rags before a holy God. Oh, but Joe, I have a stronger plea than my own personal conduct. And it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He has written me in the palm of his hand. He carries me on the breastplate of his heart. And when I come before God, knowing my soul to be stained with sin, I come before God with no pledge to clean my soul up, believing that makes me right with God, but with simple trust in the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ, who lived his life for me and died the death that I should have died. Good job, Logan. You did a good job messing that rag up. Now, let me show you a final thing before we close. This sounds so simple, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. Doesn't it sound simple? In fact, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, if they only knew, if they only knew. But it's not that simple. For you see, you can explain this to people until you're blue in the face, but there is something preventing them from trusting Christ rather than their own performance. Do you know what it is? The third thing that I want you to see, and this explains the stumbling block in the hearts of lost people, is this. Transparency is far more important than pretense. Far more important. But there is a reason why people cannot be transparent about the condition of their soul, and they cannot come to faith in Christ. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, where Paul describes people apart from Christ. And he uses the same word that he uses in Romans. It's the word ignorance. Listen to what he says. They have their understanding darkened. They are alienated from the life of God through ignorance. But now listen, this is not an innocent ignorance. They are ignorant because of the blindness / hardness of their heart. The word blindness there in the Greek language is probably better translated hardness. You know what Paul is saying? It takes a humble man to admit that he cannot, but God can. It takes a humble man to say, I am dirty and I cannot clean myself up, but Jesus Christ did what I cannot do. And my trust is in Him, and I renounce all trust in myself. And only the grace of God humbles a man to be able to say that. But a hard-hearted person who has never tasted of the grace of God, when he hears about Christ and what it means to submit to the righteousness of God, which is absolute perfection found in the person of Jesus Christ, and come to the place of saying with your whole heart, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Oh, only the grace of God will ever cause a man to say that. But when he does, here's what will happen. He'll be transparent. His wife will say to him, honey, you know, you've been pretty harsh lately. He will say to his wife, you know what, sweetheart? I have been. I've been very harsh. Will you forgive me? Do you know why? Because his identity is not bound up in convincing others that his soul is pure. His identity is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ, who loves impure souls and died for us. But you get a man or a woman who doesn't know what it means to submit to the righteousness of God and come to trust in Christ as the end of the law for righteousness. Here's what will happen. You get a person who will do everything in life to convince you that he or she is spiritual, that he or she is holy. They will hide sin. They will hide their failures. They will hide their faults. They will be the hardest working, zealous, passionate Southern Baptist people you'll ever meet. They will do everything that's on the calendar. They will go and they will teach. They will go and they will serve. They will do everything. Now, wait, why? It's because they're wrestling on the inside with some dirtiness. But they gotta hide it by their performance. But you get a sinner who trusts Christ. He could admit that when he preaches a message, the message is tainted with sin. He can admit that when he serves his master, his service is tainted with sin. He can admit that he's sometimes a respecter of persons. He can admit that he fails in his marriage. And he's broken over it, and he seeks to rectify it. But he doesn't trust in his rectifying of his sinful soul for his fellowship with God. This is why when some people join Emmanuel and they come, it's difficult. Because all they've ever thought and all they've ever processed in their spiritual life is this: what God expects and what God demands is for me to live my life in such a way that I am dedicated and zealous and passionate. And Paul simply writes and says, wait a second. The Jews had all that. They were very zealous. They were very passionate. They had a zeal for God. But it wasn't according to knowledge. They were ignorant. They were ignorant that God demanded perfection. That they never could meet that perfection. And that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And the sinful soul that trusts him finds that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's what Paul's saying. The Jews couldn't do that. And some people in this room may find it hard as well. You say, Pastor, if I believed that, I'd be scared to death of what I would become. Because the only thing that keeps me serving God is the threat of law and punishment if I don't. I feel for you. If you can ever come to the place of truly resting in the performance of Christ and not your own, you will find that you will serve God more than you ever served him. You will love God more than you ever loved him. But it'll be, as Tim says, you just can't help yourself. You just can't help yourself. You're driven from within because the love of God for your soul drives you.